FrancOuest est une production de l'Association des francophones des Kootenays Ouest,
AFCO,
diffusée sur webouest.ca.
Entendons-nous bien.
I don't know what year it was. I was 11. At that age, you become self-conscious about speaking it. I lost speaking French.
Présenté par l'AFCO, vous écoutez FrancOuest, balado sur les francophones et les francophiles fascinants des Kootenays Ouest. Je suis Patrick Lac et ceci est la saison 1, Francophonie sauvage.
My last name is Tétrault and my mom's last name is Breton. Both my mom and dad are from the eastern townships, Magog and Sherbrooke. In Quebec, I think they're old families that would have immigrated like long, long time ago.
La fermière anglophone Rachel Tétrault dévoile ses origines franco-québécoises et sa relation compliquée avec la langue française. Ayant grandi en anglais dans les Kootenays Ouest, elle souhaite aujourd'hui que ses enfants parlent le français et qu'ils soient connectés à leurs racines. Rachel Tétrault s'implique activement auprès de Canadian Parents for French, chapitre de Castlegar, en tant que présidente pour assurer la pérennité du français auprès des jeunes générations de la région.
Is it working?
Yeah.
Cool.
Do you want us to start the interview in French and then whenever you feel comfortable you can switch back to English, or do you want to do it all in English?
Probably like all in English.
Sure.
Well, my parents, they're both from Quebec. I grew up in BC and I went to elementary school. I was in French immersion until I was in grade 5, and we moved to Castlegar and they didn't offer a French immersion at that time. When I walked into the room where you guys were in the library there and listening to you speak French, I'm just always like in awe. And so I have this goal to be able to speak like that. But I feel like at the same time, I really have to get the courage to immerse myself in. Like for you speaking English, you're not nervous to do that. You're not embarrassed to do it. I feel like for me, when I stopped speaking French, I was at that age where I think you start to become more self-conscious of yourself. We had moved to Castlegar and I had been without French, I guess, for only half a year. That summer, my dad took us back to Quebec to where he grew up. I was like, I know how to speak French. This is great. I'm going to show off how I can do that. And I had some cousins there that were making fun of how I was speaking French. I feel like there's a little bit of a snobbery there. You have to speak properly. I got super self-conscious to speak French and I just decided then and there, I'm not speaking it anymore. And then it wasn't until I had my daughter that I was like, this is important to me. This is something I want to have for her. I want this for her. And then my grandma passed away and then I was like, I really want this for her. And I want to do it more for my grandmother too. And so I think it's important to keep that going. Sometimes I wonder if that's kind of silly, but I don't know. I think it's important to keep the culture. I don't have the culture. I have an idea of what the culture is, and hopefully she'll think that as well, and my son as well. I just took a class with Le Centre de, I think, Francophone, out of Vancouver. I feel like I have to go back to high school sometimes, but I was so frustrated. I'm like, I'm not learning anything because I don't understand any of, you know, we were doing passé composé and it was an intermediate class. I think that's the biggest thing, is like how to use your past tense properly. And I was like, I know this is such an important class, but I'm not understanding anything. It's not clicking for me. And then I think I must have been reading some books to Juniper when I felt like it was so hard and I was like, why am I doing this? I'm never going to get this. I think somewhere in there, it was being absorbed. And I think, just keeping going with the practice is the biggest thing.
Have you ever read a French book for yourself?
Like an adult book? No.
Or just like a book that you like? can be like a comic book or...
I read in French for my kids, so we have like lots of books. We have our own kind of French library at home, some from when I was in school that my mom kept. And then we take books out of the library and stuff like that. So yeah, some of it's hard because I don't know what the words are. Just because I don't know what the words mean. But I feel like since Juniper's, I've started reading her French, even just reading her French, I've improved. So some of the books that I had from when I was a kid, I remember trying to read them to her when she maybe first started kindergarten and being like, this, I don't, none of it makes sense. I didn't understand any of this book. And then now I can read it and understand and translate like what I'm reading. So it's nice to see some progress. I don't know what year it was. I was 11. At that age, you become self-conscious about speaking it. I lost speaking French. My grandmother was in the Lower Mainland, and she kind of always had, like, all the grandkids. We all had to speak French with her. And so she's recently passed away, and I feel like that was a big driver for me to relearn French as well. So yeah, that along with my kids being in French immersion, I just want to, yeah, relearn the culture or learn the culture, find the culture and be able to kind of surround my kids with that. It's funny. I find that a lot of people don't really know their family history past their maybe great-grandparents.
But even just, like, let's get back to your parents. Like, okay. When did they move out west?
My mom, she moved when she was 16. She comes from a small community that they were mining in. So the government or the mining companies were buying up farms to mine them. And so they bought my mom's farm. And then that's when they moved out this way. So my mom moved when she was 16. And then she ended up going back to Quebec after she graduated. And then I think that's where she met my dad. And then just because of industry and because of work. And so they were in Quebec. There wasn't much for them to do. My dad's brother had moved out to Fort St. John. There was work at the mill. And so they moved out here for that. And then, yeah, I mean, they lost their... That, yeah, that's when they kind of...
They stopped speaking French again?
Yeah, I think it became unimportant to my mom, not so much, because my grandma, I think she made sure that that was important. Everyone spoke French at her house. My dad, I remember him not feeling that it was important that I put, like, my kids in French immersion or that me and my brother went to French immersion as well. And my mom actually has just recently moved back to Quebec, which is funny, a funny turn of events. But she's there, and it's awesome because she has so many resources. So anytime I want a book for the kids or whatever, she sends games and that sort of thing. But she's also discussed with me a little bit of the politics around French and English language in Quebec. And it seems like a very fiery topic. It's a bit intense, I think, there. She says when she's with their friends and they're visiting that she speaks English. But then when she's out shopping and all that, it's all French. So it's interesting, I think.
What's your involvement with Canadian Parents for French?
In Castlegar, we're a fairly new chapter. We're only, I think, 2019 we started. I'm the president of our chapter. My involvement is looking for resources that are needed in our community and trying to come up with ways that we can organize. My daughter's in the second grade, and so I started when she started kindergarten. I knew that I wanted to be involved with her schooling in some way, and I was really excited to hear that they had an organization specifically for French. And I really wanted to myself get back into speaking French, learn it. I want to be fluent with it. That's my goal. And so, yeah, being able to be involved in that way was perfect. the funny thing is I feel like for my mom and some of my other family members, maybe because they just always spoke it to their mom, they didn't lose any of their French, except they started to have their own language almost. So they'd say some words like always in English, even when they're speaking a full French sentence. And So some of those things like patate, you know, you don't say pomme de terre, you say patate. So there's a bit of a slang that even I think being removed from Quebec and being in BC and just speaking it within like siblings, they still manage to create their own sort of slang words and that sort of thing. And same when my grandma would speak English, she would still have French words that were always just, she always just said them in French. So my mom going back to Quebec and having things be different, I think that it was a little bit, she would have to ask people to slow down how they're speaking so that she could understand some of what she was saying. But I think she was able to kind of pick it back up pretty quickly. And then as far as culture shock, it's different there. I think you would find that it's different in every single province or every single area that you went to, though. But maybe that's just the topic we talk about because that's what I'm interested in knowing more about. I don't know.
Did she go back basically to the same town?
Sort of the same area that she grew up in. So I think the Eastern Township, similar to like the Kootenays. So the Kootenays is a pretty big area with lots of different towns in it, right? And so I think the Eastern Township, same thing. It's an area where you might be able to drive to all these different towns and locations, and same like Magog's close, the way Nelson's close or whatever. But it's different for her because I think she's getting to know her family a little bit more. Like her aunts and uncles still live there. And so their community is kind of been broken up. I think when she remembers her childhood, it's like her grandma had the big farmhouse and the big farm, and everybody came at Christmas and everybody came for any special occasion, and they would, they have these traditions, right? Christmas traditions or traditions where you're doing the hay in the summertime. And so she has these memories of her grandmother's house and the whole family getting together. And you have this huge family with lots of cousins. There's a disconnect now. There's her aunts and uncles are older. The cousins are more spread out and the family isn't as tight. We moved here when I was in the fifth grade. I think my parents had just traveled around looking. They just drove around BC looking for where they thought that they might want to live. And they came to Castlegar and they really loved it. And they didn't have any work. They didn't have anything, but they were just looking for a fresh start, something new. So that's why they came here.
How old were you?
I was 11.
Okay.
Yeah. I hated it. But I'm so thankful that that happened now because I think it's so beautiful and I wouldn't go anywhere else.
We spoke a little about the big family that your mom had. Mm-hmm. How was it for you growing up not having maybe contact with your extended family?
I think as a kid, I didn't really notice. The times that I really enjoyed it was when we did go to my grandma's. And so all of my mom's brothers and sisters still lived in Chilliwack. And so we would go down there and it would be same thing. Every time we came, it would be big dinners and all the cousins and that sort of thing. So I still experienced that. The stories that my mom tells are, when I think about like kind of Canadian French culture, that's kind of what I wish I could experience. That I think I'll have to go. Well, I don't even know if I could just go to Quebec. It's the idea of like these big families and like the snowmobiles in the wintertime on the farm and doing maple syrup in the, what is it, spring? February, So having all these different traditions creates that culture. And I think that a little bit, I don't know if it's for everyone, but I definitely don't know if BC has that. It might be family, like individual family based, but, and maybe it's because I have young kids now that's something that I feel is important. But yeah, creating all those traditions, and having that passed down from year to year, whether it's like, you know, your grandma's recipe that she makes at Christmas or, I think that I love hearing my mom talk about her kind of childhood in Quebec.
Clinique dentaire Kootenay Lake. La clinique dentaire multilingue des Kootenays. Graduée en 2016 de l'Université de Montréal, Dr. Anne-Marie Claveau est une passionnée de médecine dentaire.
Moi, je veux que les gens y aient du fun à sourire, tu sais, qu'il n'y ait pas de gêne, puis qu'ils soient confortables dans leur bouche. T'sais. Pour moi, il n'y a rien d'insurmontable. Là, quand je vois une bouche, il n'y a rien qui est insurmontable. Il y a toujours une solution.
Trilingue, elle offre ses services de dentiste généraliste en français, espagnol et en anglais.
C'est le fun aussi de pouvoir communiquer dans sa langue maternelle. Ça l'enlève un espèce d'effort là, de plus de comme tout traduire, surtout dans des termes de la douleur ou les termes de sensibilité là, qu'on n'est pas, on n'est pas trop habitué de parler de ça. Là. Fait que si les patients sont capables de me parler dans leur langue maternelle, je pense que ça l'enlève une couche d'effort.
Que ce soit pour une chirurgie complexe, un traitement d'orthodontie, une greffe de gencive ou simplement pour une seconde opinion, prenez rendez-vous avec Dr. Anne-Marie Claveau pour discuter de votre santé bucco-dentaire. Visitez la clinique dentaire Kootenay Lake au 556 rue Joséphine à Nelson ou via le site kootenaylakedental.ca. Et n'oubliez pas de mentionner que vous avez entendu parler de notre commanditaire grâce au balado Franc-Ouest. Merci de soutenir votre francophonie locale.
Je suis Patrick Lac et vous écoutez Franc-Ouest, saison 1, Francophonie sauvage. Enregistré au studio de l'AFCO à Nelson, en Colombie-Britannique, voici la suite de ma conversation avec notre invité aujourd'hui. Rachel Tétrault.
So was it your grandma on your mom's side that came out with the first time?
Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure why they would have moved to BC, and maybe it was cheaper out here then.
So that's why your mom hated it at 16.
She was 16. She was taken from her friends and from her family. I think her family was so important to her, and it was what she was used to. I remember being really little and going out to Quebec for the first time. I don't even think I was in school yet. And we went out there and it was absolutely beautiful. There's this big old farmhouse. This is still the farmhouse that my grandmother would have grown up in. Like greenhouses and cows. They used to raise deer there at one point. And so So what would happen is my mom's aunts and uncles would come and work on the farm during, I think, the summer months. I don't know if anyone stayed there full time all the time, but they would sell produce and eggs and beef. So I remember going back when I was a kid, and then my mom took me back when I was 16, and so I have more memories of it. It was so cool. So my aunts and uncles, they come and they stay on the farm. Got memories of my grandma and her sister smoking cigarettes on the front porch. Yeah. They would all get up early in the morning and they would be gone. And then there'd be a couple of my mom's aunts working in the kitchen canning tomatoes. But they'd also be preparing lunch. And so by time lunchtime came, there was this huge table with this giant feast for lunch, and my uncles would all come back from working in the greenhouses or working out in the fields, and then we'd just have this huge feast, and then we'd watch all my children on the TV in French. And then everyone would go back to work again for the rest of the day. But I just remember being like, this is so cool. And then my mom's cousins, none of them were interested in taking that over or doing farming or anything like that. So it's just kind of gone. And I think that's hard for my mom to kind of let go of, I guess, because that's a big, a lot of tradition lost there. People lose interest in it, right? It doesn't make them as much money, and it's hard work. It's so hard for what you get out of it, but it's so important. So my partner, he grew up in Glade, and his parents are, they're both military brats that, I guess, 70s, were doing the whole back to the land thing. So they found a nice piece of property in Glade, and they built their own house. There's barns. They have this beautiful farm there. And so my partner, he grew up on a farm. We met in Vancouver, and I think that's something that he always wanted to do. And I, had that drive too. We moved back when the recession happened in Vancouver, and then we got laid off of our jobs. So in 2009, we moved back here, and then we ended up buying a place in 2012. So we've been there for 10 years now.
We bought a piece of ALR land in Pass Creek. We have chickens. We do pigs every spring and butcher them in the fall.
We've got sheep that we just started breeding. This spring was our second experience with that. And then we've got two big gardens. And it's been pretty cool. It's also been a lot of work having two like babies during that time too. So yeah, so I know how hard it is. I know how much work it is. But the thing that we don't have is the community, like everybody working together. My mom told me that everyone used to help with everyone's hay. I mean, their fields were way bigger. We have like a couple hundred bales where they were doing like huge amounts. So you need that community too. But yeah, it's definitely a lot of work. It's hard work. And it doesn't always, I can understand why people would move out to BC if there's work at the mill instead of maybe working on the farm.
There's a very Quebecois expression, mm-hmm. which is retour aux souches. Souche would be like a tree trunk, so back to the roots.
Mm-hmm.
And it,
back to the land, yeah.
Going back to farming, going back to the land, just like your childhood memories of your family did.
Mm-hmm.
To your
roots. Oh, that's so cool.
Because you're telling...
You should write that down for me. That's so cool.
Si vous avez aimé cet épisode, c'est vraiment important de vous abonner à la série Franc-Ouest sur la plateforme balado de votre choix et de nous laisser un commentaire 5 étoiles. C'est la meilleure façon d'assurer la survie de notre projet. Et si chaque personne prend le temps de le partager avec un ami, on pourra continuer longtemps à vous faire découvrir notre francophonie sauvage. Franc-Ouest, une production de l'AFCO. Consultante journalistique et rédaction, Marie-Paul Berthiaume. Consultant technique, Anthony Sana. Gestion des médias sociaux, Dania Prou. Graphisme, Louis Fortier Design. Image du logo, Wild Air Photography. Narration publicitaire, Mathilde Van Branteghem. Thème musical, The Great Novel. Ambiance musicale, Kent Kataoka, Cuckoo Tales, Patrick Lack and South Heaven. Transcription, France Marchand. Comité d'écoute, Marie-Paul Berthiaume, Pascal Boyer. Nous reconnaissons l'aide financière de Patrimoine canadien. Je suis Patrick Lac. Merci d'avoir été à l'écoute et à la semaine prochaine.